Okay. I'm going to try to take us through three different areas, sort of how we are situated financially currently. I'm going to also go to our history, our financial history, which has been alluded to, and some clarifications, I hope, because some things are not clear, and some things I think are not correct, and I'll do my best to correct them. And then I'm going to come to some recommendations. Let me start first by looking at where do we stand financially currently. Every time we do this report, there are three rumors that are always absolutely positively true. One rumor is we're bankrupt and we're going to not be able to meet payroll next week. The other one is we're secretly bankrupt and we're not telling anybody. And that's a secret. The other one is if we're not bankrupt today, we'll be bankrupt next week. Well, all three are not true. But I am here to report that we have some cash flow issues, some of which are normal for us at this time of the year, and some of which are more than normal. And I want to try to explain the difference between what is normal and what we usually experience, stations as well, as also what is not normal and what we should do about it, at least in my view. Finances at a glance, and the slide for those listening is cash flow plus Fosdil is the problem. And the question is, what is Fosdil? What to do? Fearless Fosdick, no. Fosdil, I made it up this morning. It stands for Free Speech Radio, Overspending, Duplication, and Legal. That's our problems. That's where most of our cash flow issues are stemming from this year. Free Speech Radio, Fosdil. My old mentor used to say, give them aphorisms so they, or whatever those things, they'll remember them. Free Speech Radio, overspent by $138,000. Overspending $300,000 in various areas, which I went into in detail in my CFO report. Duplication, that's a form of spending we don't normally identify, but we have 9 different websites in this network. That's duplication. We have 8 different news shows that we fund each day, daily news shows, not to mention specials and the like. Every day we fund 5 in the stations, Free Speech Radio News, Democracy Now!, and various Spanish language programming. With BBC? Oh, Infotivo, right, Spanish language programming. That's duplication. We need to find a way to bring together those resources which consume for us over $1 million, $1.2 million, and I don't count staffing in that. So Fosdil is our problem. The L is legal. We're going to overspend our legal budget this year, close to $200,000, and, of course, in the last 3 or 4 years, the legal bill has been awesome and awful. We can't. I won't beat that horse. Everybody knows what that horse is called. Last 5-year trends, what we're suffering from is history as well, not just this year. Last 5 years, in 2003, 2004, in my July 2003 report, I said we had 10 critical issues that would decide our future. All of those 10 critical issues have come to fruition. We ramped up during the period after the Iraqi War, 2003, 2004. Pacifica was growing at 20% a year, 20% a year for 2 years. But as with many organizations, during that period, we spent money, we hired staff as though the 20% would last forever. 20% did not last forever. And we duplicated in the web area, which I've mentioned, and we started funding new shows, all of which are still with us. So during periods of ramp-ups, every organization that I've ever been with thinks it's going to last forever, and it never does. We are a seasonal business. We are driven by news events, and then people start to listen to us more than they normally do, so our revenues go up. But when that event goes away, our listenership drops. We are talent-driven and, unfortunately, premium-driven. How long can you promise a new, exciting premium and still keep people coming to you for those new, exciting premiums? Well, the answer to that question is not all the time. people get tired of premiums, and you have to sort of, there's a premium war that sort of happens. You got to do better than the last time. Not only give them premiums, but take them to lunch. Not only do premiums, but take them to dinner, then a show, and pretty soon, where is the premium war going to end? Can't do that forever. Doesn't last forever unless you come up with human sacrifices as a premium or something. After the ramp-up period, lasting roughly from 2003 to 2005, that is through the initial invasion and occupation of Iraq, our revenue started to flatline. We have been flat for the last 3 years. Flat revenue, most of you know this story. I mention it every time at these board meetings. But that doesn't mean our expenses haven't gone up. Healthcare goes up every year. Hotel rooms go up every year. They get really high in the summer. That is, I remember in 2003, you could go to New York and get a hotel for $150, $160, $170. Now $350 minimum in New York. And even in D.C., you used to be able to get cheap hotels for $150, $160, $170. But now in the summer, all the tourists are in town because we're a cheap dollar in the United States. Hotels in D.C., $300, $350 in the summer, especially during blossom time. So that directly affects how much we have to pay to hold these meetings. And when we're holding these meetings, the price goes up every year. I'm looking at 10%, 15% a year in the price of hotel rooms, airplane tickets, food every year. Hence my recommendation, we can't afford to keep doing this. We can't afford to do it. And we need to at least think, not eliminating a board meeting, but continuing the same schedule, but skipping one and going on to that station, skipping a one meeting period. That'll save $75,000. What else have I noticed in the last 5 years? Cash flow pressures increase. And the interesting point to be made is not just that the stations have been short on the cash flow, that is to say, raised $2.5, $2.6 million less than they raised, a cash flow shortage, which is to say, not able to meet budget. The interesting question is, how did Pacifica survive while having cash flow shortages that are $2.5 million over the last 5 years? How is that possible? How can you keep going on if year after year in certain stations, not all, you have cash flow shortages? The answer is that the cash flow was coming from somewhere else outside Pacifica, namely from the national office. In the last 5 years, the national office has raised $3.7 million, not from central services. It came from national mail drops, donations, bequest campaigns for donations, and they were fairly successful. And that cash has been used to help float the cash flow deficit in Pacifica. Question, how could WBII owe Pacifica $600,000? Well, if they weren't paying the $600,000, who was paying the $600,000? Well, the national office was paying those bills. And where was the national office getting that money to pay bills for stations that missed drives or had lower drives or stations that couldn't do payroll or stations that couldn't do, quote, the bill box or health care? And we paid it. Where did it come from? Well, that's where it came from. And we had to do it for the last 5 years. $3.7 million. It's in your income statement. I carry the audits back 5 years so you can see how much in each line item was in fact spent or raised for the last 5 years. So there's no mystery. I produce that every month. You can see what trend has been. Now, what else has happened? Balkanization. Like it or not, over the last 5 years, when I got here in 2003, there was a real spirit in Pacifica. You had a situation where the war was on. People were coming together, working together. There was plenty of resources around. And what I've seen over the last 5 years is that's gradually broken down into me and mine. My station, my resources, my this, my that. It's happened. That's just my point of view. I only have the perspective from 2003. Some of you have a longer perspective. Same thing in programming. Instead of having really a sense of let's do progressive programming, let's do far-reaching programming, more and more it became I'm going to do programming for my network, I mean my station and my community, and I'm not going to commit to any kind of must-carry. We'll not do must-carries. we'll do me, Gary. We're going to do us, Gary. Well, that's heartbreaking in a way. And people rightly mention that, look, I need to be able to program to my subscribers, to my members. And you can't force national programming into my local schedule because it's disruptive. It loses dollars for me. So there are arguments to be made on both sides, but this is the trend, a balkanization of programming, balkanization of finances. When I got to Pacifica, all of the bills were paid out of the national office. All revenues came into the national office. It was centralized just prior to my coming here. And all accounting was done in the national office. That totally changed. Accounting became decentralized, done at the stations. Finances, that is the bank accounts, came out of the national office because the people had a bad experience, right? The national office at that time, or the board at that time, took all the investment monies because they had access to all those investment monies. So the stations reacted by having no bank accounts, essentially, at the national office. And every station opened up its bank accounts and kept all its monies in those local bank accounts where they currently reside. The only exceptions are, and by the way, no one knows how many of those bank accounts are still active because they weren't opened up with any sort of tracking mechanism. And I repeat, during that period, bank accounts were opened up in reaction to a centralized financial system at each station. And how many bank accounts each station opened up? How many are still active? How much money was put into them? How many third parties received those funds? How that money was spent? Still questions. So I don't know. I know that when we came in 2003, we started the process of trying to identify, well, how much money does Pacifica have? And what bank accounts at each station? Who controls those bank accounts? Who signs off? Now, we have answers to some of that. But like I said, I wasn't here when it started, so I don't know how many there were pre-existing accounts. Direction. Balkanization of direction. Hard to have a unified sense of what is the core mission of Pacifica? What do we exist for? As you know, everyone has a different idea of what Pacifica is and what we should do. Are we here for communities that have no voice? Are we here to be slam bang progressive radio? Are we here to serve individual members who support this network year after year, month after month? What is our mission? What is our unified effort aiming toward? It's hard to get the same answers. Some folks says we need to change the whole model of Pacifica. We got a volunteer-based organization. Other folks say we got to get rid of these paid staff and go volunteer. That's the only way we can be sustainable. Get rid of all these paid staff people. They cost too much money. Obviously, we can't afford them. And let's bring back the volunteer model, sort of the grassroots model. More volunteers, less paid staff. And I'm not too sure about those unions either. So you have all kinds of sentiments at Pacifica about how we should be structured. My particular model is I don't think we can survive without extending ourselves into the communities that surround us, forming relationships and support systems with those communities. The model of the individual member giving $25 year after year needs augmentation, needs subsequent thinking. And we were trying to model that with the WPFW event, where it was not the individual subscriber, we love those, of course, that we were trying to bring together in a progressive stakeholder event. It was other progressive organizations. That's the same model we're working from at the national office. That's why we raised the $3.7 million, because our target is the members of other progressive organizations who want to support progressive media, which we represent at Pacifica. And the answer to the question, will they do it? Yes, they will. Progressives will support progressive media. Who are these other organizations? ACFLU, I'm sorry, I got that wrong. Hightower, mailing list of progressive people who write to us and say, happy to know Pacifica's there. You've been there 59 or 60 years. I think you're critical in this period in our history. Here is $100. And that's worked. So my point is, we need to expand beyond the model of the individual subscriber. Cash flow. Now we get down to the crib. Every 6 months, Pacifica has a cash flow crunch, April and September. Why? There are no drives. Stations that went into drive, for example, in October, run out of money by December. Stations that go into drive run out of money by April or May. That's why they have to have another drive. You have to have another drive because the revenues for the average station only last 3 months, and then you're out of money unless you have some savings. So you have to go back into drive. So April and September, there's no revenue in the system, or at least it's low revenue in the system. And therefore, there's a cash crunch because the bills have to be paid every month. There's no hiatus. Mortgage, health, taxes, whatever. If people say, well, Pacifica doesn't have taxes, that's not true. Pacifica has payroll taxes, income taxes of various kinds, Medicare taxes, et cetera, that have to be paid. Stations do drives and then live off the proceeds for 3 months. If the drives are low, then the money is low. Now, what is really odd about Pacifica's finances that sometimes people don't really understand is if a station, for example, misses its drive goal, what happens? They don't produce the cash, but the expenses are still there, and they don't change. We have a system that says if you miss your drive by $1 million, then you don't have to pay central services because the amount of the central service bill is tied to the amount raised. But that creates a crunch because the bills for health insurance, the bills for taxes don't go down just because we missed our goal. They have to be paid anyway. So you're constantly looking for cash to supplement whatever cash that did not come through as planned. So that's the role of the national office and the board. Finally, pressure on must-pay items. You have to pay the health insurance. Otherwise, your people go to the doctor, and the doctor says, your health plan hasn't been paid up. We must pay those health insurance premiums and keep those plans active, whether the station has money or not. So at the national office, that's a heavy burden for us. We have to pay the health insurance people, the MAMCs of the world, the Kaisers of the world. Otherwise, all our people suffer. And they're not going to go to the station. They'll call us about it. So we must pay those health insurance funds, monies, whether the stations can afford or have sent us the money at all. Stations take 3 months to pay a health insurance bill because that's how they get the money from the listeners. But the health insurance bill is not a three-month bill. It's an every-month bill that has to be paid. Even though it might take you 3 months to pay, I have to pay every month. Legal bills. We don't pay the attorneys. I have a real bad reputation with attorneys because when I first came to Pacifica, I didn't pay $1 million worth of legal bills. And so they all know me now. And they all, when I call, they hang up on me.
Probably love you.
Yeah, they really.
Some new ones.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they're a dime a dozen.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know the attorney's in the room. But
it's okay. We produce asexually. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, anyway, it's happening again. People will say to us, I'm not going to continue your case. I'm not going to take your case because you may not pay me. But the bills for the legal come in. For example, WBI is a legal bill, and they don't have the capacity to pay. Who pays the legal bills? National office and this board has to pay the legal bills. If I don't have it in my piggy bank, I'll suggest to the board you might have to cut back on, say, a plan for a board meeting or training. It's all one pot of money, ultimately. Health must be paid, and I mean health-related issues. That is, if you've got a station that needs ducts because staff feels there might be a health issue, you must spend the funds on that, whether you plan to or not. Taxes, got to pay taxes, whether you plan to or not. Governance, we are all governance, have to pay. You're going to have your meetings, got to pay the bills that are associated with those meetings. Programming is a must pay. All right, I'll speed it up. I see some of you are nodding out on me. I hate that. Pacifica finance documents, balance sheet. Now I'm just going to get to how do you understand what's going on at Pacifica? People have said, well, I'm not clear. Well, let me help with that. The balance sheet document contains all the past history of Pacifica and all the debts that one station owes another debt, another station. And I have an annotated balance sheet which explains with an inserted comment all of what that little number in that balance sheet is. What is a balance sheet? I discovered that some folks are not clear on what a balance sheet is. What is a balance sheet and why every year we produce one, or every month we produce one? Maybe I'll sit down, my back is hurting. Why do we produce the balance sheet? A, because it gives you all past history. B, because it gives you the history, financial history of a station in the network since inception, since the enterprise started, 1949. That's what a balance sheet is. It's the entire history, financial history, debts, who owes who what, since inception. So it's very, and what I've done to make it easier is I will send it out to the board. I've annotated every dollar item in there so you can see where it is, where it came from, and what year it came from, pre-2003 or after 2003. And I'm happy to sit with the board and go over it if that's something that needs to be done. The income statement is only for the current year. Balance sheet is history. Income statement is the current year. Only applies to the finances, income, and expenses for the current year. That's how accounting is set up, at least American accounting. Then there is a cash flow report. Now, of the three documents, the cash flow report is probably the most important. Why? Because irrespective of how much money you think you might come in, the cash flow report is the flow of the actual cash. Even though person A might owe you $100, but they don't plan to pay you until a month later than you expected. So the cash flow report is a critical document, and everybody ought to ask to see a cash flow report at the station, because it's actually how money is actually going to flow in, and it's critical because, what is it, 70% of all small businesses fail in the United States because they don't watch their cash. They simply can't do payroll. Is that the pattern here at Pacifica? Yes. There are four stations that look great. We met our goal. We raised the revenue. We got the pledges. But they did not have enough money in the bank at the right time to make payroll. You can't have 99% of payroll. Have to have 100% of payroll. Who is on the didn't make payroll list this year? PRA, four times. WBAI, three times. KPFK, one time. That's this year. They did not have enough money in the bank to make payroll. That is the sign and non, whatever that phrase is. Say, yeah, something. Yeah, that's bad. That is not good. And then the station people are stunned. Wait a minute, we made goal. We exceeded goal. How could we not have enough money for payroll? Because it takes 3 months for your money to come through. And from the previous goal, you had not gotten enough or saved enough for payroll. That's always a shock and a surprise to folks. That's why cash flow is critical. It tells you whether you're not going to have enough, whether you're going to have enough cash for payroll. And if us finance people, that is the bottom line. You must always have enough money for payroll. Audit. The audit document comes out once a year, and it's an outside independent view of the finances. And you folks are familiar with that. And those audit documents are available. They go back at least. I have ones going back in my office to 1997. So you can see trend through the audit documents and my CFO reports, which I have a sneaking suspicion people are not reading entirely. I put little things at the end of my CFO report that are outrageous just to see if people are reading to the end. And I found out, oh boy, they're not reading to the end. Because they don't come up and ask me, what was you talking about in the end when you said the world was flat? I say, you read to the end. Sometimes people do not read to the end. So I find out. Now, how we survived, I'll try to speed this up. Last year, how we survived with these, on paper, we look fine in some respects. But this year, we'll show $1.3 million surplus. That's 13-14% profit margin. But that is misleading. So I'm going to go behind those numbers. We survived by having, last year we got $1.2 million in one-time gifts. We were lucky to survive last year because we got the one-time gifts. We talked about it ad nauseum in finance. Everybody knew that that was the case. I said last year, you got $1.2 million this year, but next year you're not going to likely get $1.2 million gift walk through the door. Cash, mind you. Cash. Not bequest, but real cash. That was extraordinary, unusual, and not likely to happen again, and it did not happen again. This year we have a hole where people thought, maybe I'll get another $1.1 million. Well, we didn't. Fundraising at the national office raised $1 million a year. Been doing that for a while. That's how we survived and helped stations and the national office carry on despite shrinking or flat revenues and expenses rising. Expense reductions were done and are being done, as we all know, at the stations. But they're not enough in this fiscal. We still need all 350,000 more that needs to be reduced. Bequests. If you look at bequests, this network got $700,000 in bequests. Sounds great. Problem is, they're not spendable cash. They're interest-only endowments, which is to say, you have to put them away in the bank, but you can't spend anything but the interest. Well, it's nice to have the endowment, and it'll show up and look like a really great year, but not so great, because the cash is not available to us. It is sitting in an account, and we have to wait until interest. And with the stock market being what it is, the cash might just sit there and reduce itself slowly and gradually bleed away. So you need better to have one-time cash gifts rather than behest, although nobody will turn away an endowment. It's great. Windfalls. Those are windfall gifts that weren't anticipated. So what's sustainable? What if we got the cash flow issues, if we understand that we're in a market that's going south, what does Pacifica need to look at to sustain itself? What are going to be the factors? Well, we're going to have to manage governance costs. We will have to manage governance costs because they're going up 10% a year. How do we do that? We go into a big trance, and we think it through. But we'll have to look at it. We'll have to manage salary costs. From that ramp-up period, salaries at Pacifica increased at something like 7% a year, while revenues increased at something like 5% a year, and it's been going on for 3 or 4 years, and it can't sustain. We all know, where is that true? What stations are those stations? I'll tell you the stations that have unsustainable salary increases. Station 1, KPFA. Station 2, KPFK. Station 3, WBAI, not so much as you would think. Who else? KPFT, not so bad. Although, I do remember a point 3 years ago when KPFT had 6 or 7 full-time FTEs. There are more. I may have missed a few then and maybe not understood the role of the part-timers. The other problem we need to sustain, in my view, is what business model are we using at Pacifica for our future? That is, who and what do we serve? I alluded to that earlier. We're still working that out. Oh, how is Pacifica different from NPR is a question. What is going to be our business model, and how will that differ from NPR? Can we even compete with NPR on its business model? Should we compete with NPR on its business model? What is, as they say in the planning business, what is our competitive advantage that makes us special? That people were willing to support us over all the other organizations they can support. What's the answer to that question? What makes us different? That's such that people will support us. I'm not clear on that. We need to get clear on it. Finally, what's in Fosdil? FSRN deficit, $138,000 deficit, which the stations are paying. Kansas keep paying out more to FSRN than we, in fact, are getting from CPB. We can't do that. It's draining the stations.
What do you mean FSRN deficit? What does that mean?
That is
stations can't pay it. You pay it.
Well, we did that last year with FSRN we suffered two hits. One hit was last year the former executive director gave FSRN a 10% increase in a part of the negotiations. You remember going to bring them inside? We talked about it. Well, the 10% increase was not funded by CPB. It was funded by the network, meaning the national office. And then this year, the beginning of this year, the CPB monies for all stations, but also FSRN, were reduced. We got a reduced allotment, a double hit. So the stations started to have to pay. So FSRN, we're paying them $138,000 more than we're getting from CPB. And that can't sustain. They get from us $567,000 a year. I'm putting that in the, I don't know if we can sustain that amount of money for FSRN. We must look at better integrating the fund, save some money, and not duplicate a news program. Why? Besides, I'm not clear.
How much is rent at BAI?
Oh, $732,000 a year. That's not sustainable either. Question, Dove, is why would we have eight news programs? And why would we pay $567,000 for a half an hour news program? Isn't there a better use of those funds, a better way to integrate them into our system? I've been saying that, yes, I think so, but the going is tough. The second FOSS deal is overspending. Election cost, overspent, $110,000 this year. Overspent. Total cost, $310,000 on a budget of $200,000. The elections ain't free. It's in the income statement.
Oh.
Yeah, we budgeted $200,000 for elections. We're spending $310,000, and they're not over. They're mostly over, but they're still not over. Mm-hmm. Legal expense, unexpected, wasn't in the budget, $200,000. Total bill before September 30th, just a guess, $100,000 at K, $75,000 at K. I think KPFA may be out of the woods. WBAI, not sure about where their legal costs are going to end up. I know this year, $70,000 in legal costs at WBAI. This is not good. We're spending $300,000-$400,000 in legal costs. This is not good. You know, it's money we need and money we can use in other places. The unit budgets, balance, the unit budgets, and I mean that station's plus the national office, off by $360,000. Need to reduce expenses in the six units by $360,000. We're looking to get that done. I'll finish up with duplication, eight newscasts. We don't need to duplicate eight newscasts. I don't believe we need to do eight newscasts. Nine different websites, and we're paying for them. So that's what I mean by duplication. We got democracy now, free speech radio, Spanish language, et cetera, in five stations. I won't go over all that. That's what's involved in the duplication. If you need the PowerPoint, I'll be happy to send it out to you. I always do that after a board meeting. I'll send out the PowerPoint if you really want it. Are we bankrupt? No, but we have cash flow issues. That's for people who this stuff goes by too fast. I can send it out. Let's end on the station-by-station analysis. Do we have stations with structural deficits? What's the difference between structural deficits? Yeah, you know, my dad used to say, well, if I have no money, I'm broke. If you have no money, you are in poverty. You know, college students are broke, but they're not poor. WBAI has no reserves, no savings, living on the edge, has a yearly deficit of $250,000. $250,000 is the deficit for WBAI. Has a back debt of $500,000. That is even including the $81,000. Finances, KPFK. Had savings of $450,000 5 years ago. $450,000 in the bank, saved up, zero now, gone. And people, well, what happened to it? How did $450,000 go out the door? Answer, mostly legal, mostly salaries, mostly rebuilding the equipment there and the transmitter. That's where it went. Transmitter, salaries. Rebuilding the equipment. You know, the beautiful equipment, you do have it. Okay, I went down there and just...
It's a studio.
Yeah, beautiful studio. And legal. Over, you know, $100,000 a year.
It's your fault, Jerry.
Somebody.
Don't do that again, Jerry.
Yeah, you know, and now they have... Kay has no real savings now. Revenues are great, but they still have been flat over the last 4 years, except for this last drive where you exceeded goal by 258,000, Jack, there, ultimately. Exceeded goal. Something like that. And then you're looking for a summer drive. Before, Kay never had a summer drive, remember?
Yeah,
now you have to do a summer drive to finance and try to replace the 450. So you're now into summer drive. Dumb. WPFW, never had a summer drive, now having to look at a summer drive. KPFA has always had a summer drive. WBAI has always had a summer drive. But T, has T always had, has T always had a summer drive? It has now.
We have for quite a while now.
You do have one?
The general manager.
Yeah, a few years ago. Yeah, stations are having to look at summer drives. What was that? Oh, yeah. I thought I was looking for Dwayne. Yeah. Last 5 years during the summer drive. And to make ends meet. I won't go into the dreary statistics of how many days on the air each station has increased since I've been here. Boy, I don't want to go there. All right. KPFK will need an additional $100,000 this year. And why? Because there are some upcoming legal expenses that are not in KPFK's budget. And by my numbers, you need another $100,000, despite how well your drive did. Despite even the budget that you're looking at for the summer, you're still going to need another $100,000. And on top of that, I think you'll have to look at reducing expenses somehow, some way, for an additional $25,000 to $50,000. I'll be happy to go over the numbers that I have. I've gone over the numbers with the business manager there, KPFT. KPFT has a need this year for $36,000. Why? Because KT has always sort of, you know, always come through. Last year they needed to raise extra money, and they did the dollar a watt thing, and they've got the grants going. This year, a little tougher, short $36,000. And talking with Dwayne and talking with Markeisha, working on how we can get that number down to at least 17, 18. Now, what does it mean when we're looking at these numbers? If the number is red, that means, and in my reports, if the number is red, that's how much they're going to be short at September 30th. And if they have no reserves, they're either going to have to borrow the money, or someone is going to have to pay extra dollars, or they're going to have to postpone some bills. But T has no reserves or savings. That's living on the edge and building up those reserves. And a contingency fund against a bad drive. All stations with no reserves need a contingency fund against a bad drive. That should be part of our policy. If you have a bad drive and no savings, that's not good. National office and the board. Hello, here we are. Governor's expenses, $650,000 to $750,000, including legal. How much was it 4 years ago? $333,000. It's in the income statement. You can read right across from 08, 07, 06, 05, 04. You can see what those costs were. So that means government's expenses have gone up. Now our current year cost will be $478,000. That's up 43%. Election expenses, I mentioned, over by $110,000 to $120,000. Legal expenses this year high. Severance costs. This last year, the board made a decision to pay severance costs right at the table here. Severance costs ended up costing close to $90,000 if you include benefits. And some of those that we're still paying out, we may end up with the final payments on some of the health care issues, health care payments we promised in a couple of months. FSRN deficit of $138,000. All right, now I'm going to answer questions I heard come up, and I'll try to do that. What about central services? Why is the national office bleeding us of this astronomical amount of money in the central service side? And what, by the way, does it pay for anyway? So I'm going to try to answer that. Here's the total revenue for the national office, $3.5 million. Central service, we get $2.4 million. That's 70% of our total revenue. Now, there's a misconception about this central services. It is not 20%. It is 11%. It is 20% of the listener donation line. but it is only 11% of the station's revenue. That is a misunderstanding. An overhead rate of 10 or 11%, the meanest, leanest corporate entity in the world has no overhead much lower than 10 or 11%. So we're not fat. We're lean. And we raise, in terms of the cost, remember those expenses that keep going up every year? When you're flat every year, you are falling behind 10% every year. It is not static. You're losing 10% because expenses keep going up 10%. You're flat, so you're losing 10%. That's why you have to raise 30%. That's why our expenses keep going up, but the money is not coming through central services to cover those costs, so you have to do fundraising at the national office. How much? 30%. Dollars? A million. Total expenses are 3.3. Salaries, let's go into what's in that central service, $1.2 million, or 36% of expenses. Board, elections, and administrative plus audit, $854,000 a year of the total expenses of 3.3, or 26%. Programming, Democracy Now!, satellite fees, national programming. We pay $776,000. Most of that is Democracy Now!, about $560,000. By the way, Free Speech Radio News, $560,000. Democracy Now!, $570,000. Or 23%. Development, the much maligned mail drops, 5%. PRA, $334,000, which is actually more than what is required. We give them more than 3%. Have been doing so for years, more like 13%. And it's in the income statement. And what reason is we value the archives as much as anyone else. We want to keep those folks going. Now, what to do? What do we do about Fosdill? That's practical, reasonable, and doable, and quick. Eliminate the FSRN deficit. You simply say to FSRN, as we say to ourselves, we have to cut back expenses, you're included, and reduce that deficit and save the $138,000, which we don't have to pay. We are digging deep in our pockets to pay the difference. The longer-term issue of what you do with FSRN, I'm not addressing at this point, but I think we need to address its deficit as we address our own deficit. Reduce unit expenses. That is to say, we need to go back to the budgets, and we're doing it. We still need to find another $367,000. I am suggesting that we reduce governance expenses in the board budget by $75,000. If that is another board meeting, or if it's saying we go hostile next time to save the $75,000, but I think that the board ought to take control of its budget, just as any station takes control of its budget, and say, this is what we're going to do to save money in the network. Volunteers welcome right now. I'll work with anyone that wants to say, look at this board budget. It's right in the income statement. Where can we save money in this board and governance budget? If it's not a board meeting, how about doubling up? We put out the call to double up on rooms, this time to save money. Show of hands, so who's doubled up? I didn't double up, I confess. Well, I have a medical problem. I can't sleep with anyone in the room. I snore. I've heard it all, people. but you know, what do we do? So if we could just say someone on the board take charge of this budget and say we will save money. Where is that money to be saved? Look at the budget. It's right in the income statement. It's right there. You can see it. And I think my number would be $75,000. It would be nice to raise $75,000. If we could say, hey, can this board raise $75,000? Say in the next 6 months, 8 months, 9 months. I get glassy stares when I bring it up every year. People go, what are you kidding? I'm already doing a lot here. I'm already volunteering my time. It costs me money to go to these board meetings. You want more? You want $75,000 more? Yeah, I know. But we're talking about ideas. I didn't say they were good ideas. I just said they were ideas. All right. We need to look to our 60th anniversary as a fundraising opportunity. That's coming in April of next year. Can we there is much that can be done to raise money around Pacifica's 60th anniversary. The WPFW did it around their 30th and did quite well. An anniversary is an accepted marketing and proven marketing sort of tool. People seem to respect that and choose that time to honor the institution. There were some balance sheet questions. I said I'll be happy to go over the balance sheets questions in detail on a call, and I'll send out an annotated version of the balance sheet so you can see what's in those numbers. It's going to take us back to 0102 and who paid for what during that time. That's where it's going to go, folks, because a lot of those numbers are from that period. That's where it's going to go. Standardized format. Oh, accounting. It's unclear. You don't know what's in these budgets. You don't know what's in these numbers. Well, I'm happy to work out any format. The format you see is the one that people from previous boards and finance committees have requested. If you're worried about why it looks this way, it's the work of a committee. I don't want to do 1,250 lines of accounting in the income statement every month. I'd be happy at a smaller, more compact version. I'm not wedded to spending my weekends in the office. Accounting, where is accounting done? I had this question from Tony. And the answer you got at the station, oh, they do the accounting at the national office. This is not true. The five stations have a business manager who enters into a common a network accounting program, all financial and accounting data into a common GL. That's where all the accounting is done. All the original invoices from vendors are at the stations. All bank accounts are at the stations. The idea that I can hear many an LSB meeting where we don't know where they came from. The national office put it in there. That is bull. It's not true. Anything goes wrong with the LSB meeting, it seems like, well, it was the CFO or that national office. You know who that, you know how that goes. Well, please, I'd like to clear up those myths. It is not true. All entries are done at the local station. And if someone says, oh, it's not true. Say, which ones are you talking about? Point it out. What I do, I spend half my time saying, I'm not sure they raised $20 million at K last time. And I go check. How do I check? I check by saying, I need the bank statement. I check by saying, I need to check your numbers against the MIMSIS reports. And then I get a lot of blowback when I ask for that one. Oh, I say, I need to be sure of this number. Could you give me more detail? Because I am checking not original documents. I am checking information given to me by the stations. And the stations don't want to give me too much information. As Dwayne rightly pointed out, where did he go? He said, if I tell you I raised $1 million, all you're going to do is ask for your 17 or 18%. I'd rather put it in community events so that I don't have to have 17% taken out of it. And many times I'll look the other way. The stations need money too. And I'll say, fine, let it go there. But the auditor will come in, and the auditor will check it, and I have to correct it the next month anyway because I can't let it go more than a month. But that's somehow how accounting gets done at Pacifica. It's not great. It's not great to get it done that way. HD conversion. Oh, 1099s. I covered that. I won't go over it, and I'm almost done. High overhead. And in my CFO report, I have explicit station-by-station breakdowns of what each station has to do to get to the number of the 367. The HD conversion, well, stations can't afford to put out cash for the new HD transmitters. They just don't have the money. So they, like we do with our health insurance premiums, like we do with our telephone systems, they have to finance it. That's not unusual. Happens all the time. And financing it means they pay it off on an installment plan. Shareware, new auditor, clarity, I sort of covered that. I'll end with Weather Pacifica. What are we going to become? A revamped, renewed radio network, a blogging community, a tech-driven organization, an organizational-based media organization that creates an organizational community of progressive organizations in the communities we live. I don't know the answer. I know we've leaned and talking about 3, 4, 5, 6 different ways to go. Last question, what's working, what's not working, what's the future model, and who are our supports, present and future? And are we going to lead from the top or the bottom? I keep hearing that question come up. Stations are saying, hey, I need to listen to my people about what's possible, what needs to be done. They don't need to be told what to do from the board level. So where is that leadership going to be coming from? What's our model? What's our preferred model? We lead from the bottom, or do we lead from the top? Right? I don't know the answer to that, and we continue to struggle with it. On the one hand, we want to be democratic. On the other hand, we want to be accountable and fiscal and fiduciary. So it's a tough struggle. Capital campaign. I'm anticipating a question on that. I'll go over what happened at W. And then I'm done. Thank you very much. That's
Thank you, Lonnie.
Yeah.